Following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me back in the saddle again is my excellent producer, Derek. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Yourself?
Well, all is well in the world. It's just a wonderful time to be alive, Derek, and it's just this is the most beautiful time ever could be. I'm totally content with life as we know it.
Oh, yeah?
Well, first of all, I admit I'm on a high. I was, you know, I just joined in January the Elgin Choral Union, and we performed Brahms' German Requiem this past Saturday night, and it was really a heck of an experience. From all accounts I've heard, we knocked it out of the park, so to speak.
Nice.
So it was just so much fun to be, but that's just half of it. The other half is playing golf yesterday, Derek. I shot a hole in one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I can understand.
You know, after years and years and years, am I ever going to get one, you know? that was a lot of fun. It cost me a little money at the bar later.
Yeah, that's all right.
But that's all right.
Well worth it.
Number 7 at Big Run, folks. Right. 112-yard hole, hit the pitching wedge against the wind, and took three bounces, and then the green actually goes in the valley. Right? We didn't know. You know, I knew it had a chance because I saw it was right on line. But we got up to the green, and this other guy that was playing with, you know, he had a foursome, and there was one other guy that reached the green. I had forgotten that. So I saw a ball on the green. I thought, oh, I'm short, you know. Then my other buddy comes walking up, and you're like, somebody's got a hole in one.
Oh, nice.
Woo. Yeah, that was fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So all is well in the world. All right. Now I got to get back to my regular bitching self. to the stupid regulation of the week, and my friend Chris sent me this one. This is good. There is a regulation in the Illinois statutes that requires teachers to be pushers. It requires teachers to be drug pushers. It's a policy that school employees have to be trained at least once every 2 years in the use of psychotropic or psychostimulant medication for school-aged children. this includes training on a current best practice regarding the identification treatment of attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, the application of non-aversive behavioral interventions in the school environment, and the use of psychotropic and psychostimulant medication for school-aged children. So how do you like those apples, folks? It is actually a regulation that you're the teachers that we all pay. Actually, according to Bush logic, we are just as guilty as taxpayers by voluntarily acceding to paying property taxes. We are funding drug pushing in the schools, folks. We are funding drug pushing in the schools. And there's more and more studies coming out. There's more and more. It was always clear to me, to be honest with you, but there's more and more studies now coming out that would indicate that these drugs are participating in the increased use of deadly weapons, for one, and of suicide. So, there you have it. Where does it stop? Where does it end, folks? See, we have the state-approved drug pushing, which includes, the psychotropic drugs to kids. And, of course, we have the state-approved drug pushing that the FDA approves for the pharmaceuticals that we've, you know, a plurality of the commercials on commercial TV today, you know, have, you know, women flying in the air with flowers around them, just having a wonderful time while the voiceovers tell us how that your limbs can fall off and have heart attacks and strokes and such. Where's the disconnect, folks? Does this all make sense to you? We make marijuana, this illegal drug that never killed anybody, and yet we have these drugs being pushed on TV, and you call for your free sample. Talk to your doctor to get your free sample. If that isn't pushing, what is? But that's legalized pushing. We have legalized drug pushing and illegalized drug pushing, and then the state legislature mandates that the teachers and get involved in this pushing of these legal, very dangerous drugs. So that actually leads very well into our topic today. We're going to have George Clues from the Heartland Institute, and we're going to talk about school choice today. And it should be an interesting discussion because I know amongst libertarians there's a big disagreement as far as which way to go. So George Clues will be my desk and guest and all that kind of sort of stuff. We're here at 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I am Kenneth John. We will be back after a few messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
All All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We have a friend and colleague with us today from the Heartland Institute, George Clues. How you doing, George?
Great, thank you.
Well, the topic is school choice. I don't know how much you've heard coming in. Well, my stupid regulation of the week was this. This is evidently there's a policy in the Illinois statutes that require every 2 years that school employees are trained in the use of psychotropic and psychostimulant medication.
Yeah, well, I used to be on the village board in Mount Prospect, and they have a, I guess when I got on the board, they had a two binders of local regulations, and I recall just for interest browsing through them and finding that a number of the laws that needed to be repealed. And since the schools code of Illinois is far, far longer than the village code in Illinois in Mount Prospect, then I'm sure there are many laws that that are in there that should be repealed.
I'm sure there is, and but the answer, of course, I think from your perspective and mine, is not that we just can't just start repealing laws. Well, that's good, but maybe it's time that we de-Sovietized the educational system in this country.
We certainly need a lot more choice in the education system, and de-Sovietizing. Is an interesting comment because even Al Shanker, the late Al Shanker, who was head of the American Federation of Teachers, said that the American public school system more closely resembles a communist Soviet-type system than the free market system.
Absolutely, but unfortunately, it seems to me the majority of property tax-paying citizens buy into this notion that that the public schools, the poverty tax-funded public schools system, is a good thing.
I think what has happened is that because there, it's been the only alternative available to most people. Like the private schools and homeschooling currently account for between 10% and 12% of the students that are educated in this country.
Yes, I'm sorry, you said 10 to 12% for homeschooling? Or
no, 10 to 12% for homeschooling and private.
And private, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's probably around 1 to 2% homeschooling and mm-hmm. around 10% private schools. But for the vast majority of families, the public school is something that they expect their children to go to. And despite the fact that choice is widely available in almost every other sphere of their lives, they just don't think about it in connection with education for their children. And I think one of the ways that people need to start thinking about public schools and public education is that public education in particular is the education of the public. And if you think about the education of the public, then it doesn't matter where it takes place, whether it's in a home school, a private school, or in a government-owned and operated school. As long as the parent has a choice of which school to send the child to.
Yeah, and I have to pay double, I would say.
That's right, because that's one of the injustices of the public school system, the way it's currently set up, in that the property taxpayers and in fact the general taxpayer through state funding of education and federal funding of education have to pay taxes for education in general. But then if they decide that their local public school, for whatever reason, is not doing right for their child, whether the school is dangerous or whether the school is not doing well academically or whether it just so happens that the child doesn't get on with any of the teachers, or what is becoming increasingly a problem with many of the public schools, the values that are being promoted in the public schools are against the values of the parents, and so they don't want their children in that atmosphere.
Well, there's a continual debate going on of what the proper role of a public school system, or I should say government school system, is. Should there be prayer in school? Should there not? Should it be a progressive education? Should it be a back to basics? And, of course, what you've got when you have a Sovietized style system is it's that one framework fits all.
That's right. And in fact, that is why you see so many knockdown, drag-out fights over control of school boards, because one group, for example, may say, we want to teach creationism, we want some recognition of intelligent design. Another group says, we don't want that in the schools. And so, and that's just one aspect of the kinds of values that one school may teach, one public school system may teach versus another one where a particular family may say, well, I just don't agree with those values. I don't want my child exposed to those values. And so when you look at the answer, it's really very simple, and it's the answer that the free market system has developed, and that is you just give people choice. And so if you want to send your child to a school that does give recognition to intelligent design, then you can do that. If you want your child to go to a school where evolution is taught, and then theories like intelligent design and creationism are questioned, then you can send your child to that school. But the parents ultimately then have the choice. They decide where those education funds are spent. And then the public school system, which is now educating the public, then takes on a number of the characteristics of the free market system, in that the individual family then decides where to spend those funds.
Well, it seems to be that would be the American way, having the choice to determine which values, which way you want to go for your child's education. And it really astounds me, except for the fact that maybe there are some people that like to play God. You know, well, my kids will be fine. I will teach them the values that I want them to teach. But it's those other kids or the other parents. We need to have the proper values, from my perspective, to be taught to them.
Yeah, well, the irony is that one of the fundamental arguments of the advocates of the public schools is that they say that, well, the public schools are the only place where we bring all the children together and where we teach them American values. And I'm sure you saw the Knight Foundation study about 6 weeks ago, which asked high school students about the First Amendment.
Oh, yeah.
And there was just an appalling ignorance of the First Amendment, or of any amendment.
Appalling, not only ignorance, but non-interest, and not having a clue of the importance.
That's right. And again, this is somewhere where I guess maybe libertarians may disagree, but my own view of a government's interest in an education system, a government has an interest in an education system in educating the public so that it understands the values on which the republic is based. Because if we don't have an educated public, there is no way that we can keep the republic going on an ongoing basis, because it does require that people make intelligent choices about representatives and about their policymakers.
Right. Well, that's absolutely true. And if you're going to have government schools, at least teach them the basic values upon which our country was founded.
Amen.
I mean, as you say, libertarians may argue as to the means of how you achieve those ends.
Yeah. And there are what is interesting if you look at what has happened with regard to school choice across the country, you will see that it's taken on, what has happened is what normally happens in the free market system. You may go in with one idea about how choice should work in a K-12 education system, but the ingenuity of individuals when they're thinking about solving a problem is that they come up with a whole range of different solutions to address different circumstances. I'm not saying that they're all equal in value, but the interesting thing to me is the range of different choice opportunities that come up. And Howard Fuller talks about offering a menu of choices to parents so that they're able to say, well, I don't like vouchers, but I like tax credits, so I'd rather go with a tax credit idea. And then circumstances may force other families into a more limited range of choices. But that's what happens in the free market, too. Not everybody can afford to eat at the most expensive restaurant in town, but you can still find somewhere where you can get a good, nutritious meal.
So what would be your recommendation to implement school choice in Illinois?
My recommendation is to go for school vouchers. And the reason for that is because there are two aspects to this struggle to educate children. One is the education system itself and being able to deliver the education. The other 800-pound gorilla is the amount of money that's currently being spent on public education, which in Illinois, I believe, is around $20 billion a year.
You know, it just is incredible to me. I just found out, I understand that that the present value of a teacher's pension is over $1 million. It would make more sense to just write them a check for $1 million upon their retirement than to be paying them the extent that we do.
Yeah, well, it's a problem not only with teacher pensions, it's a problem with public employee pensions in general, in that many of the public sector jobs have the opportunity to retire after 30 years service, which means that if you enter a job when you come out of college at 25,
right,
then at 55 you can retire at a pretty hefty retirement pay.
Yeah, and if you're living at 55, probably the average death age is probably more around 88 or something like that.
You'll be drawing pension for quite a long time.
I don't see how any kind of financial system can survive that kind of thing.
Well, when I talk about $20 billion being spent per year on education in Illinois, that does not include the unfunded pension liability, which I'm sure would add, by my own estimation, it would add at least $1,000 per student across the state to fulfill the obligation.
Wow.
But going back to your question about, which way to the money allocated to special ed students, you could do that, and also there are categorical programs like Title I where you specifically allocate funds to low-income at-risk children. You could do that too, so that then the dollars that are supposed to be allocated to specific children for their education actually do go to those children. And in essence, what you do is take, you know, the average of around $9,000 or $10,000 per student, and you fasten that money to their back, and then wherever that child goes through the door of a school, that school gets the money. Now, if you think about what that would do in the inner city, where generally one of the problems with the schools in the poorer areas that are dealing with low-income children, these children already get additional funds through Title I over and above the average. But the problem is those funds don't go to the schools. If the funds are allocated to the students, those funds do get to the schools, so now they can afford to hire teachers, the best teachers to teach in those schools. Because right now, the way the system is set up, there are actually incentives for teachers to move, as they become more qualified and better, to actually move out of those schools where they're desperately needed and move into other schools. It's a crazy system that we have set up right now.
Well, when you don't have market signals, involved, I guess you are always are going to have distorted results.
That's right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that's interesting to me is that the choice as a policy, you know, as a public policy, is growing throughout the world, because for the last 8-9 years I've been managing editor of School Reform News. I recently stepped down and Carla Dial took over. But one of the things that became clear as we monitored what was going on was that school choice is not just something that is of interest to people here in the United States. It's a hot issue in Australia. It's a hot issue in New Zealand. Even in China, the government is encouraging private schools. And then if you look in different Asian countries, you see that the school choice is a policy that they're looking at. And Tony Blair in England, somewhat closer in language and history, Tony Blair has been using choice as a policy to improve the productivity not only in the educational sector but also in the healthcare sector, because in the United Kingdom, where they have a public healthcare system as well as public education, one of the problems that the Labour government found was that they were putting more and more money into the healthcare system and the education system, but when they began to evaluate what they got for it, they realized they really had not gotten a very good return. And so they deliberately developed policies where the consumers would have more choice, both in the healthcare system and in the public education system, so that the consumer would then begin to drive quality and cost reduction within the system, and it would provide some incentives for the suppliers of education and healthcare to improve the quality of their services, because now they're in a competitive environment. Admittedly, it's not like being in the knockdown, drag-out free market system, for example, in computers or electronics, where we've seen some very, very dramatic changes over the last 25 years. But at least these incentives are now being brought into these systems, where for many, well, the education system in particular, for more than 100 years, it's not had that kind of incentive.
Oh, maybe there's hope that even the most bureaucratic politicians can learn.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with George Clues, educational expert with the Heartland Institute. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Have any comments, questions, observations about school choice, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
Excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever- ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with George Clues with the Heartland Institute about education and education reform, educational choice. Let's go to the phone. Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
You're on. Hey, Ken. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Great, thank you. Hey, you know, this guy brings out a lot of common sense stuff in there. I don't know why people out there in the mainstream aren't catching on. It's funny. I'm being basically taxed out of my house for it's like the, like you said, the education system in this country is, it's like you're writing an open-ended checkbook, you know, check to them every single year, and yet nothing ever gets done, nothing. And if you try to find where the money goes, you can't ever find it. You know, it's always, there's always a roadblock here and a roadblock there. And some of these politicians, I call them politicians now, they're not you know, school administrators, they basically are getting overpaid and underworked. And the teachers, I know so many teachers right now, some are clients and some are friends, that have so much, a lot of them are getting out of the business of teaching because all they are babysitters. They said they've had it with the system, the school system, especially in this state. I'd like to see a change in this. I know people are dead set against, you know, taxes and stuff, but there's got to be a change. I can't keep going on forking out at 35 to 40% each year on what I'm already making. You know, I'm paying almost $1,000 more this year than I did last year, and then it's been doing that every year for the last 4 years. And what you have brought up is some really good, I think, alternatives. I just like to hear, you know, something's got to be done, and I don't know how we're going to do it because, you know, these politicians have got their hands in the kettle, so to speak, and Ken always brings it up. It's politics as usual, and it's, for some reason, we, the public, either were ignorant, stupid, or whatever you want to call it, but nobody seemed to get the idea about what's going on anymore.
Yeah, well, you bring up some very good points with regard to property taxes, because I think one of the things that's happened over the last 5 or 10 years, well, certainly with the tax revolt in the late 80s, early 90s, which ultimately resulted in tax caps on local government bodies. But even with the tax cap, I think what we've been seeing in recent years is that people are saying we just can't afford anymore. So the referendums that are coming along are getting voted down, and then with websites like Family Taxpayers Institute, www.thechampion.org, which provides the salaries of teachers and administrators in every school district in the state. This is by individual. So that when a particular school district says, oh, we need more money, and it's for the children, and then you look through and you see so many teachers being paid over $100,000 a year, and many, many more administrators as a percentage being paid more than $100,000 a year, you begin to say, well, maybe can we see if we can do with it some fewer administrators or maybe some low-paid administrators? Now, the beauty of choice is that the organizations themselves make those decisions as people make their choices. Because if you have a school that charges a lot, then it would use up not only the amount of money that you have in your voucher, but then some over and above that. And so that school is likely to be less well attended than one where the parents could get an education for their child, a good education for their child, not only for the cost of the voucher, but with some left over that they're able to put into an education savings account for their child's college. And when you look at the amount of money that is being spent, I think nationally, part of the problem with the education system is we don't have up-to-date figures. Now, Walmart, every morning, knows how much every store has sold across the country, probably around the world. In education, it takes about 3 years to find out how much each district has spent so that you can see what the grand total is across the United States, which, incidentally, is now over $500 billion a year.
That's it. It's not doing any good, and that's the thing. And I think most people are starting to realize that, but I'm going to get off and let somebody else on there. I'm glad you got this guy on there. I wish you'd get a school administrator on there, and you could put him on the hot seat. But
okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it. Okay, let's move on. Wendell. Hello, Wendell.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to see that you have the person on who's talking about one of the things that's important is tracking the children to make sure that the monies that are allocated to the child are being spent. But, you know, in Illinois, there's a proposal to consolidate the school districts. Illinois has got a lot of school districts, and many of them are unequal to each other. They have some have lots of money, and others don't have as much, and there's unequal education. So what needs to be done is there needs to be got to get rid of all these extra school districts and consolidate everything underneath the state of Illinois, which can then go along with the federal mandates on education. And this way we can have an equal education across the country, and students then can be tracked, the money can be tracked and followed. They can pick whatever equal school they want to go to.
Well, I guess I would disagree with you that consolidating school districts is a policy that we ought to pursue, because my own research in looking into school districts across the country that have consolidated, it's supposed to produce greater efficiencies, but in fact what you find is that the larger school districts are less efficient than the smaller ones. Now obviously when you've got a school district that's maybe only got 100 children, then you have to do some thinking. But one of the things that has happened over the last 25 years with the advent of the personal computer and the internet is that distance learning has now become much more of a possibility than it was before, so that for remote school districts, it's no longer necessary for these kids to go and get on a bus and travel 20 or 30 miles to their school every day. They maybe only need to do that once a week to get together with a teacher, but otherwise, there are a number of examples from across the country, from Montana, Ohio, New Mexico, where they have distance learning systems set up where you can have a virtual classroom of students from across the state.
Well, it sounds like you're advocating the homeschooling, and it's been shown that homeschooling is not as great as everyone's tried to make it out to be. These
well,
kids
I'm
are maladjusted, and they keep learning false information from their parents or the Bible-based curriculum that they get all the time with the false science.
Well, I'd have to disagree with you because I personally am not a member of any organized religion, but I've got great respect for the Catholic schools and what they do. And also, if you look at the research that's been done on homeschoolers and the quality of homeschool students, and also from my personal observation in meeting a number of homeschool students at various conferences, I would have to disagree with you with regard to the quality of homeschooling. I think it's remarkable that a parent who hasn't gone through the pedagogical training of a teacher can do a better job than the teachers in a local school. Now, I'm not saying that that's generally true, but usually the way the free market works is that people who are specialists can do a much better job than amateurs. But with homeschooling, we're looking at the situation where amateurs are doing a heck of a better job than the professionals.
Well, the only problem with that is that then you don't have students who have been acclimated to the requirements of living in our great society here. And we need to have students that respect the law and respect the government and respect our leader, Mr. Bush.
During the ad that was on recently, they were talking about functional illiteracy. And I've got a sheet in front of me that gives me the National Assessment of Urban Progress results for Chicago for 2003. Now, this is a school district that spends $4 billion a year on 400,000 students. So you do the math for how much is being spent. Only 14% of the students are proficient in reading. 60% are below basic. Now, what below basic means is that you can't even measure their reading ability. This is despite spending $10,000 per year per student.
I argue
that if those are the kind of results that this system is producing, then let's give the money to the amateurs and see if they can do any better.
The money needs to be given to the government to make consolidate these things and make it the kind of curriculum that's across the board.
Okay. Hold on. Wendell, you made that point before. I got a lot of people want to get in on. So I'm going to. I appreciate you calling. We have to move on. All right. We have Mike. Hello, Mike.
Morning, gentlemen, enjoying the program.
Good. Hi, Mike.
It's a little bit tough to follow Wendell because, you know, his philosophy was tried someplace, I think the Soviet Union and maybe Communist China, but we know how well that works. My biggest question is, what do we do about these people that are in, you know, power that, you know, no matter what the voters vote for, they just go after the election, we're going to do it this way anyhow. There's a school district here. Wanted to build a new school and buy property. The voters turned it down in a referendum. And then after the referendum was turned down, the school district bought the property anyhow. Figured, well, we'll get the school later. So how do we handle that, gentlemen?
I think you just need to publicize what is going on and also to see if there are any legal remedies. because there are a number of things that have been set up to allow different government bodies to take action, which if put to the vote in the district, would not go through. For example, if you look at alternate revenue bonds that are used very heavily by park districts, they're essentially double-barrel bonds where you issue one bond that is then paid off by issuing another. But right at the beginning, before they set those up, there is a four-week period when you can go out and collect signatures against the issuance of those bonds. But the problem is that is not publicized.
It's amazing to me, if I can interject, George, that there's no law against that. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, in my view, it's an abuse of the law, because it's kind of a long story, but I tried to get Attorney General Hartigan, when he was Attorney General, to look into it, and unfortunately he wouldn't.
Yeah, because when you're voting on a bond issue, you're voting for a period of time to pay off the bonds.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it seems to me that's a default.
Yeah, Bond Council has said no, it's not. But going back to Mike's point, I really think you need to become experts on school code to look at what code rules their behavior, and just make sure that they know that you're keeping a very close eye on them. Look at when they have their meetings, look at when they call special sessions, when they meet in closed session, and see if it appears after those closed sessions that they are talking about business that they shouldn't have been talking about in the closed session.
Okay. Mike, I appreciate your call. I got to move on. This is Freedom Rings, talking with George Kloos from the Heartland Institute on Educational Issues, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s.
Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
And you may think that with an illegal smile, it don't fall very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to hand me some fun. Well done, I know fun.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings talking to George Clues. We got one more caller, quickly, if we can, to John. Hello, John.
Hi, George. Ken.
Hi.
Hi, John. As a small L libertarian, I have serious reservations about giving government money to private schools because then the government tries to enforce their will on these schools. And you mentioned that Australia and New Zealand, England, were going this way. Are they forcing their schools to conform to some sort of curricula or
well, the in England, when I went to school there, I went to a Church of England school that was funded by the government because they have establishment of religion there. But I'm not sure what happened in Australia, but I think this is where the United States' uniqueness comes in, and that we do have a law which guarantees the separation of church and state. And if you look at the laws with regard to private schools, the government right now can come in and put all kinds of regulations on private schools, whether they take vouchers or not. I mean, they have that authority under the Pierce case that was decided by the Supreme Court in 1925.
Okay, we're gonna have to leave it to that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Heartland.org, get more information. You can get Educational Choice News. I'm running past it. George, thank you very much.
News.
Whatever, there you go.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. All right, on to the quotation of the week. Slow down. This is from James Madison. If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.